Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of the ministry, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that's reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. We're here to reach people with a heart after God. This message today is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Hallelujah. Today I'll be speaking about rightly dividing the word. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 to 14, he says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Verse 13. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become more exceedingly sinful." Verse 14. "For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin." Paul could not apply the teachings using his mind. Instead of fulfilling the law, he ended up doing things that he did not want to do. The law, its design and purpose, is not man-made. It has all the answers to the way things should be done on this earth, with him in charge. Jesus will prove the law works when he comes back and sets up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Even the church today struggles like the early Pharisees, using their minds, trying to understand the things of God. And Jesus gave us some insight into the real purpose of the law when he said this in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus condensed the law and the prophets down to just two verses on love. Most people do not realize that love is the fulfillment of the law. Most try to be good without God's help and keep part of the law rather than focusing on the end result. God, on the other hand, can see the end from the beginning. In the book of Isaiah 46 and verse 10, it says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Even love is not possible using human effort. But God's love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And when God is building, he starts with the finished event and goes back in time to the beginning to put into practice whatever is necessary to ensure his will is done. He is the master builder. You can also be a trainee builder by the Spirit if you follow Jesus, deny yourself, and take up your cross. Otherwise, you might help God and delay him. Paul said in Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Only when you make Jesus Lord can you really fulfill God's plan in your life and benefit from the Word of God. You start by making Jesus your Lord, not just your Savior. Jesus is the truth, and he gave the Spirit of truth to those disciples who followed him. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" This dwelling of the Spirit is more than just receiving the Spirit at conversion. This word dwelling means that you are not fighting the Holy Spirit at any time. It means that you are submitted to the Spirit. The word dwelleth in Strong's is number 3611, and it's taken from another word which means to occupy a house, that is to reside, remain, or by implication cohabit. Paul also said in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." If you are resisting the Holy Spirit now, you will resist the kingdom of Jesus when he comes. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, I'm beginning in verse 3 and I'm reading to verse 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Verse 6. "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." Verse 7. "And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." By grace, there is an opportunity now by the Spirit to get to know him now and function in the kingdom and do things in a different way based on his promises. For example, Jesus explained how to enter the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 18 and verse 3. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." In the kingdom of God, you have a possibility to see more clearly. Humble yourself, or you remain blind. Jesus said to the Pharisees, Matthew 15 and 14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." In the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God declares, this is Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are exceptionally higher, so that you will fail to understand the things of God with your natural mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." through the flesh, the devil will hinder the glory of the gospel of God, which could be manifesting through you personally, by tempting you to get off the narrow way. Jesus came to forgive your sin, set the captives free, and bring glory to God, and bring many sons to glory too. When I was traveling with Joseph Hedgecock, he would often share with me the need to study the Bible as part of my training. I would try and study using my mind because I did not know any other way. But I never asked Joseph how to study. When I tried to study the Bible with my mind, it never worked. I found the devil had access through the flesh, and I never came to truth as a result. Jesus said in John 16:13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So I just got more confused trying to understand the word with my mind. I used commentaries, filling in what I could not understand with the doctrines and teachings of men, where I had big gaps in my theology. In many cases, I just kept to what others told me based on a few verses in the Bible. But I sensed that what I was being taught was not the truth. Also, my life was not changing. I was studying, but I was not learning, and the fruit showed that I was still disobedient. I also felt like a failure too. I even looked like I was lazy or had not even tried to study. So then I felt like giving up. The devil was making a fool out of me. I kept getting the same comment from Joseph each time until I learned how to study spiritually. When I realized how to study without consulting my mind and let the Holy Spirit lead, he started bringing verses to my mind, and then it became fun, with the Holy Spirit bearing witness. I was able to get to the truth easily, and because I was having fun, even the conviction I experienced did not feel so unpleasant. The work of the Spirit is to bear witness to the truth, and we can start with truth. But we have to be willing to repent of whatever God shows us. Otherwise, the revelation stops. The Holy Spirit is a person. So you cannot just ignore the truth because of conviction, as you will end up resisting the Holy Spirit otherwise. There are many hard sayings that are part of the truth. We read in the Gospel of John, this is John chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 66 and I'm reading verse 68. "And from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." Verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you go away also?" Verse 68. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You may be accumulating lots of doctrines using your mind like I did before, trying to explain every scripture. But if you keep believing lies, you will end up defending a lie and promoting a cheap gospel instead. Joseph Hedgecock, in his book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, on pages 12 and 13, he says this: "It has been said that Satan will give you a lake of truth to give you a cup of poison. The devil has legal access to your carnal nature, even if you want to be righteous. He is a master at corrupting the rightly divided word of God with religious lies. This is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. Completely deny your flesh and don't listen to your natural understanding. The following steps explain how Satan deceives you, even though you want to walk with the Lord. I suggest you make some points here. Number one, you seek for truth by reading your Bible, listening to preaching, or reading books by Christian authors. Number two, you do these activities from your spiritualized flesh, which gives legal access to Satan. He ensnares you with doctrines that appear to be true but are false. Spiritualized flesh is any thought belief, work, or behavior that appears to be good or religious, but originates in your carnal nature. Number three, you find and believe some of the plain scriptures on specific subjects. Then Satan adds lies to bring you to conclusions that are either false or incomplete, which are also false. Number four, you come to conclusions that may be true, but they have not the rightly divided truth because Satan has perverted the information or has added theories to the truth. Number five, you may find truths that include specific requirements of you, but the devil persuades you to believe there are no conditions to receive the benefits of these truths. You believe his false doctrine so that you do not receive the blessings of God that he wants for you. Number six, you resist any truth that seems to contradict your misguided conclusions. Deception is inevitable when you do not submit every thought to Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The word casting down in Strong's is number 2507. It's taken from other words, which means to lower, demolish, cast down, pull down, put down, take down, or destroy. Every thought that's proud must be destroyed. The word knowledge is 1108, and it's taken from another word which means knowing, that is by implication knowledge, but it also means science. The knowledge of God could be also written as the science of God. You need to know some basic truths to get your mind renewed first. You cannot get to know the science of God just by reading the Bible. You need a personal relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit where he brings the thoughts back to your mind. This promise was given to the disciples who were in the upper room at the end. Jesus said in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Unless you have paid the price to follow Jesus, you will never correctly teach the truth because you are not walking in the truth with him as Lord. Truth is a person. Truth is not the same as collecting facts and relying on your own wisdom. Instead, this process includes a relationship with the Holy Spirit, correction and repentance. You have to allow the Spirit to show you the truth you need now. And Jesus needs to be Lord of your spiritual learning. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says this, "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Paul had learned how to refute arguments opposed to the truth and knowledge that God had provided based on his relationship with God, because he used the witness of the Spirit in order to come to truth. It's easy when you know how. Joseph Hedgecock says in chapter 10 of Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on page 172. Take some time and ask the Holy Spirit to answer these questions for you. Be open for correction, confirmation, and encouragement. Put no limits on what the Spirit might say or how he may minister to you. Number one, have I experienced the Holy Spirit in multiple ways, and in what ways? Number two, am I limiting how he ministers to me because of doubt, unbelief, or my experiences? Number three, do I hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in my life because I limit God's access to my heart? Number four, am I afraid to be called and trained as a soldier of Jesus Christ? Number five, do I enjoy consistent fellowship with God by the Holy Spirit? If not, then why? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, I'm reading. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26. And I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said you can become a castaway. Do not adjust the word of God to fit your doctrines, but rather adjust your doctrines to fit the word of God. If you are resisting the truth about being a castaway, how can you help someone else with the word of truth? If you are resisting the Holy Spirit, you will only find comfort in this world. James says in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Friendship with the world is evidence you have lost your first love and committed spiritual adultery. You are supposed to love the truth. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Someone who is walking in darkness needs to repent and get free, and only the truth will set them free. If you do not love the truth, you cannot help anyone else. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verses 1 to 3. He said, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it for fear, after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. Today the church does not teach that someone can become a castaway if they're born again. Instead, people are being taught to trust in the finished work of Christ, that they don't need to work out their salvation, but they lack the fruit of repentance and become a castaway or a counterfeit. Webster defines a counterfeit as like this: to forge, to copy, to imitate without authority or right, and with a view to deceive or defraud, by passing the copy of things forged for that which is the original or genuine, as to counterfeit coin, banknotes, a seal, a bond, a deed, or other instrument in writing, the handwriting or signature of another, for example, to make a likeness or resemblance of anything with a view to defraud. It means to imitate, to copy, to make, or put on a resemblance as to counterfeit the voice of another person, to counterfeit piety. A leader who is without authority is a counterfeit. Functioning out of one's own lordship and not hearing God. If a pastor does not have a personal relationship with God, then he is a counterfeit. The real servant is genuinely hearing the Lord. He is being corrected and made changes through personal repentance to hear God more consistently. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul says this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." You should be submitted to someone like Paul as well. He was not a counterfeit. 1 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Paul also describes things in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that despite suffering and hardship, he obeyed the Holy Spirit anyway. And Paul again said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul had fruit that he was following Christ. Do not follow somebody who does not have fruit that they are really following Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 1, "Be followers therefore, followers of God, as dear children." You cannot follow any man of God or even the Lord without becoming like little children. Philippians 3 and 17 says, "Brethren, be followers of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example." Paul became an example in leadership to all the churches. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." The counterfeits might endure affliction and suffering, but they cannot do this with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Joseph Hedgecott uses this illustration in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on pages 109 to 110. He said, "We are also warned to beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves," Matthew 7:15. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing in the church today, and they are destroying the flock. However, no one has the boldness to call one of them a wolf, because they are well camouflaged as sheep, and it's sometimes hard to identify them as wolves. It's sort of like a diamond. A real diamond always contains some flaws, but the imitation diamond is flawless. This is one of the mistakes that the enemy makes. When he uses wolves disguised as sheep, he makes them look too good. Have you ever seen someone at church and wondered how they could be so perfect all the time? They seem so religious and better than anyone else. They don't resemble all the other sheep, you know, who make mistakes. I've heard this artificial perfection called plastic fantastic. It's as if the person is a stamped out model rather than a real Christian. I'm not coming against someone trying to look good, but from outward appearances, it seems as though such a person always has their spiritual life in order. At least this seems to be true until you are around them at work, away from the church, or when something goes wrong. If you happen to see them, then they don't act like they do on Sunday. If you share the Lord with them, especially with something convicting, when they aren't in front of the church group, you will see whether or not they are really spiritual. Satan has fooled many people in the church with his false fruit to confirm these wolves. But what is the true proof that someone is a real sheep? Matthew 7 says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear real spiritual fruit. Basically, if someone is a wolf in sheep's clothing, he or she cannot produce good fruit in daily life with its pressures and demands. Wolves are not able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. They can only pretend for short periods of time. We are supposed to hold fast to the truth, not to the law. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We should be able to test all things today. Counterfeits do not like being tested. The real example always asks God what to do, is not afraid of being tested. 2 Timothy 1 and 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was an example of correct speaking, using the right words, and also how to deliver truth in love because he was anointed. Paul said in Hebrews 3 and verse 6, but Christ has a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Holding fast also means that you are rejoicing in the hope that comes from being submitted to the Holy Spirit and from working in his house. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You are to reject any teaching not based on the lordship of Jesus Christ, and leaders should have fruit that they have departed from iniquity. The word iniquity was defined by Webster as departing from rectitude or truths that have been passed on. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done marvelous and wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You will become a castaway, making excuses for sin and using the mind instead of asking God. God will put anyone to the side who is no longer useful for anything spiritual. Jesus is the head, and everything comes through the Holy Spirit, from Jesus and the Father. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The problem is the carnal nature. Paul warned us in Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have freedom, but this is not a freedom to use our minds and decide what to do ourselves. The Amplified Bible defines the flesh as the human nature without God. You should be attending a church that brings conviction. If not, then you need to seek truth yourself. We know that there is going to be a famine in the last days. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. This is not a famine of the preaching of the word of God. Even now there is an abundance of teachings in these last days. Preachers today present promises and teach half-truths that do not require self-denial and his lordship, and everything they say is therefore based on a lie. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You should be able to recognize and hate every false way, including any gospel of prosperity, without departing from iniquity and making Jesus functional Lord. There is also no healing without real repentance from sin. Paul said in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the point in getting healed if you later end up in hell? If you've not put away the flesh and stopped sinning, then you are in danger and you need to get your priorities right. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 9, I'm reading from the Gospels. This is Matthew 18 and verse 9. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Leaders are trained to be teachers without getting to know God first. This is ridiculous. They prefer to learn rules and principles rather than be a follower of Jesus Christ themselves. They have faith in their mind and flesh, and they can do everything without the need to have good communication with God, and that is a lie. James says in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You can ask for wisdom from God. But that wisdom, when it first appears, is revelation to you and brings conviction. When you listen to wisdom and accept it, it becomes knowledge to you because you are hearing it for the first time. James says also in, this is in the same chapter, in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You have a liberty to ask God everything now, and you can have a godly wisdom through a personal, intimate relationship with Christ, not by keeping the law. When you hear a better way, you have to be a doer of that word. The doing of the word will give you experience. Then through experience, you get wisdom. You cannot get wisdom directly without meekness. James says it here in James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is the wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit in the kingdom when you walk in the light. Only he knows when you need to repent or not. Jesus spoke about the Spirit of truth when he said in John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Jews were deceiving themselves with their own doctrines. In John 8, 33 and 34, they answered him, saying, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be free? John 8:34. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I feel no shame for bringing strong message, talking about hell and the consequences of the flesh. The word of truth will ensure that you have the right motives, so that you do not end up justifying another way that seems right and serve the kingdom of darkness instead. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Instead of telling the truth, many leaders are trying to bring comfort to their congregation. We do not know if someone needs comfort or not. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and He decides. Appealing to the carnal mind and trying to make people feel comfortable with natural wisdom is devilish, according to James. God's ways will not make sense to your mind if you are a foolish virgin. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You cannot sin when you're in the Spirit and obeying the Spirit." Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. No one should be teaching who is not already walking consistently in the truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You have to be spiritual all the time, otherwise you are foolish. I'm not ashamed of telling anyone the truth if it wakes you up in time to save yourselves. If you love somebody, you want them to hear the truth." In the Gospel of John, it says in John 1 and 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." People today want grace without truth. But grace came to give us a time to repent before we end up reaping what we've been sowing. The only way to stop reaping destruction is to let Jesus be Lord and trust Him with all your heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, and 7 says this. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Verse 7. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You need to stop using your mind. Modern computers were designed after the human mind. The modern computer is basically a dumb box. The modern computer only has information in it, which can be accessed with the right operator, even when it's connected to the internet. When you consult your own mind, it's like consulting a computer that is not connected to the internet, because it does not have intelligence like God. The computer will only do what the operator tells it to do. The devil has access to the human mind since the fall of man. So you will end up listening to wrong voices if you continue consulting your mind. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8. "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Consulting your mind is sowing to the flesh. It's certainly not trusting God with all your heart. The teaching on hearing His voice will help break the habit of leaning to your own understanding. The biggest habit you have is consulting your mind for things you need, and this has to be broken and your mind renewed. Listening to the devil's lie will hinder your calling and produce more doubts. Choose between a life full of doubts or a life full of faith and truth. Departing from evil is evidence of true wisdom, that you got on the narrow way, overcame the devil and the flesh. It shows you are a wise virgin, not a foolish one. You use godly wisdom by faith rather than natural wisdom. If you continue using your natural wisdom to make decisions, you will perish. Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." When I started walking with God, I started as a research engineer. I was asking God about everything I could. I knew the job I was in came from God. I asked God if I should remain in the job that I was doing. I asked if I need to be faithful to do my work and be on time. And he said yes to both these questions. So that was settled. When it was time to leave, I had learned my lessons working there. I had no regrets after leaving. Meanwhile, I worked on my ability to hear God in all things and broke the habit of leaning to my own understanding of God's answers. Many believe they have the bread of life, but they do not ask God and get answers. Jesus is the bread of life, so he has more than a PhD. In John's Gospel, this is John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Holy Spirit can drop thoughts in your mind. God now is your heavenly Father, and if you have made Jesus Lord, then he can tell you when to brush your teeth, wash your hands, etc. However, you must become like a little child. It is possible to hear his voice as a thought if you are able to keep your mind still. Jesus said in John 14:6, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus also said in John 6, verse 53. This is John 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh and of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye will have no life in you. You cannot have life unless you deny yourself and kill the flesh. Just being born again is not enough to have life. Jesus said he came that you might have life. Jesus said in John 10:10, it says, The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Without following him, there is no life, Jesus said. John 12 and 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. David said in Psalm chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 1. This is Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. In verse 1, he says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. If you are walking in the Spirit, then you love his word, and you meditate on it, because you know his word is life, and you let him show you how, because he is Lord. Jesus spoke about his word in Luke 8:8. And other fell on the good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The easy gospel will say that because you are born again, you have life, because you said the sinner's prayer. But John said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 15. This is 1 John 5. I'm reading in verse 11. And he said, This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Verse 13. Those things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he receives us. Verse 15, and if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. John here is explaining many truths. Number one, that only someone who is abiding in Christ has life. Number two, only those who've made Jesus Lord of their lives have life because Jesus has them completely. Number three, only by submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ can you experience eternal life. Number four, that all authority comes through having a personal relationship with God first. Number five, that when you ask according to his will, you will see God provide something through the authority of his name. Number six, that God provides what we really need when he is Lord, because we are told only to ask according to his will and not consult our own will. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Many churches do not teach the truth on this subject. Instead, they say, number one, we are all in Christ just by being born again or saying the sinner's prayer. Number two, you can carry on sinning and Jesus is still your Lord. Number three, we can all have authority without hearing and obeying his voice. Number four, you can ask God according to what you think, need, or want without first becoming a disciple. Number five, you do not need to put God first in everything. This is an example of how not to rightly divide the word of truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today it seems people do not want to study. Instead, they rely on pastors and leaders and teachers to do this for them. But it's your life. If you believe lies and end up in hell, it will be too late then. You cannot pass this responsibility to anyone else. Salvation is personal, and you also have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You are always responsible for what you believe. You must start by examining yourself. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You cannot be dividing the word of truth while you're still resisting conviction and correction that comes from Jesus on a regular basis and those who are clearly following him. If you're not prepared to repent and do what God is showing you now, then you will not be faithful with any more revelation. Even out of ignorance, many do not prepare themselves by making sure they're in the Spirit every day. Instead, they believe they can just pick up the Bible and read it and understand it like any other book. This is why they're carnal and still have a confidence in the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begotten you through the gospel. Fathers in Strong's number 3962 is apparently a primary word meaning a father, literally or figuratively, a parent. Jesus told us not to call anyone father. In Matthew 23 and 9, it says this, and Jesus said, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So by implication, Paul here was saying parents. The word instructor in Strong's, number 3807, is from another word. It means a boy leader. That is a servant whose office it was to take children to school. By implication, an instructor or a schoolmaster. So this word instructor would be like a Sunday school teacher, not even an adult. The Corinthians were carnal and comfortable, just telling people things they wanted to hear in the flesh. The word of life is what we need. This is not exactly the same as the written word. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. This is Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You cannot change the written word into the living word just by quoting it and claiming it or shouting down the microphone. The word of truth is the living word, but it is specifically the word that brings conviction. The church of today wants to claim maturity, will learn methods and doctrines, but will not learn obedience to the truth. Make a list of all the work of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures and see if he is functioning in your life in all these areas. Paul said in Colossians 3 and 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, then verses are coming to your mind. If verses are not coming to your mind, especially when you are meeting with other believers, something's wrong. The Holy Spirit should be bringing verses to your mind, and then it's your responsibility to let those words richly dwell in you, first by being a doer of the word. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, quench not the Spirit. The word quench in Strong's is 4570. It's a prolonged form of an apparently primary verb. It means to extinguish or go out or to quench. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can go out? Because this is what Paul is saying here. It means that you are suffocating his activity because you keep using your mind instead. When you study the Bible with your mind, you are quenching the Holy Spirit. If you are quenching the Holy Spirit, he is not dwelling in you, even though you're born again. Stephen said to the Jews in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. The Pharisees were just seeking to be seen and get the praises of men. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. The first study you should make should be of God himself. You need to know his love and understand that God is not judging you. God can be gracious even if you are not repenting, but everyone will reap whatever you are sowing. Time is running out. No wonder Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When grace runs out, the consequences of sin will be instant. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Through the word of truth and repentance from sin, we can become a new creation. It's not by knowledge or facts or just scripture memory. James says in James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Through the truth we have become a new creation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you still do not have fruit in your life, that sin is passing away, then there is no evidence that you are really in Christ. It's like you are dying of cancer, but you don't care. You are deceiving yourself, so you cannot help others. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Truth will expose lies in you, and the quicker you get to the root of sin, the better. There is no blessing while sin remains in you. We have to be changed by looking at Christ and copying his example of denying himself. Only then can we be changed into the same image as him, from one degree of glory to another, and not before. On the narrow way, the Holy Spirit is exposing the works of the devil in you, so you can repent. Wisdom is learning whatever he wants you to learn first. The first revelation after my breaking was this verse in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. This is from the Gospels. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Verse 2. For with whatever judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with the whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Paul also says in Romans 14, this is 10 to 12. He says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. To judge your brother is to set yourself up above God and become the judge. God is the judge. At the end, he will judge between us all at that time. And if you are judging your brother, there are serious consequences. Please read the book by Joseph Hedgecock, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, in Chapter 11, on making judgments, on pages 182 to 194. He is Lord now, so you cannot just decide what you want to study and use your mind. This is taking over the Lordship. You have to follow him and whatever he is teaching you. So I had to work on that revelation for 6 months in Matthew 7 until I was no longer judging. Jesus also said to me personally in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I started seeking God for commandments. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon said this at the end of his life, with all his wisdom. And I was starting at the end of Solomon's accumulated wisdom and had time to start walking right by seeking his commandments by grace. Where man's wisdom ends, God begins. You should be seeking Jesus to be Lord of your life, because Jesus is the truth. Do not seek knowledge. Knowledge will come when you get the fear of God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Through the fear of God, you will have the following: true knowledge based on what you really need to know. Number 2, conviction to help you be a doer of the word. Number 3, godly wisdom so that you can overcome the devil and the flesh. When you discover what he wants you to know, you will see the love of God for you, because his motive is to stop those curses in your own life first. This is before he gives you the blessings you want. He knows what is important now. There is no blessing in your life if you keep on sinning. If you want to find the root of sin, you must be prepared to study and look up verses on the weaknesses that you are facing. Reading the truth out loud will cause the unbelief to manifest in you. It might not be that every verse causes the unbelief to manifest, but keep going until there's a feeling of conviction or until something makes you feel uncomfortable. Remember, whatever opposes the truth is what must be demolished, not what God uses to bring conviction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." You must be led to the truth. You cannot get there on your own. Be led by conviction, or use the witness of the Spirit. There are things in you right now that are hindering you from hearing the truth. These have to be removed first as well, to give you ears to hear and eyes to see. So just trust God. He knows the end from the beginning. Paul said in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." This is also a promise in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When you fix your mind on things above, you will get peace. Paul said in Philippians 4:6-8, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You can use your mind to think on these things listed here in verse 8, if it helps you to keep your mind still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." Once the Holy Spirit has directed you to something, meditate on that verse. Let the Lord continue to lead you. Do not use your mind. Make sure you're in his presence when you do this. It will keep the devil out. You may find some verses that come to your mind are less convicting after a while, but the word of truth is the priority, especially when you start following Christ. Repentance is part of any true study. It will be the Lord drawing your attention to something and reminding you of something. It is important that you read the verses, and then the Lord can bring what he wants back to your mind later. Do not try to memorize the verses, as this is a work. You may lack truth because you've never read the Bible. You can also record what he says to you in a notebook and meditate on it. You should be hearing God in terms of thoughts, not just come to a conclusion based on the first thing you hear. Be prepared to test your conclusions and find verses that appear to contradict the conclusions that you have come to in your own mind. Studying should be fun when you find out how easy it is to come to the truth. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, on pages 138 to 139, he says, "Remember, once you believe, you have truth. You release your faith into it. You no longer look for scriptures or revelation from God on that topic because you believe you already know the truth. You're not open to hear anything contrary to what you already believe. In many cases, you're also involved in a ministry that keeps themselves and their beliefs separate from others. You are typically exposed to preachers who agree with what you believe. This is dangerous practice because we should be open to hear the truth from any source, especially if it exposes a doctrine that has not been properly tested. If someone questions what I teach or the conclusion I come to about a truth and shows me clear scriptures, the Spirit bears witness to it, I immediately repent and accept that I did not have the whole truth. I then ask the Lord, how does this piece fit in the truth I already know? I do not claim to know everything. I know a lot of truths that fit together, but I'm also searching for more truth. Many of you have heard me share about a revelation God gave me when I was a teenager. I took the easiest classes in school, but ran out of them in my senior year. One of the hardest classes was geometry, and the book looked like Greek to me. I could not understand the questions, much less the answers. I had no background for it. I had to pass every class or I would not graduate. In my mind, there was no way I could pass that class. At that moment, the thought came to me, this is simple. You just do not understand it. This is why you have a teacher. And if you will listen to the teacher and do what he says, you will understand. Once you understand, it will be simple. Therefore, it is simple. You just do not understand it yet. I repeated this to myself. This is simple. I just do not understand it yet. So I listened to the teacher, even though I did not understand the subject matter. It shocked my parents when I finished the class with a score in the upper 90s. They thought that my IQ had jumped 50 points, but all that changed was my attitude. Later on, when I completely broke before the Lord, I showed up in God's class. I had exactly the same feeling I had in geometry class. I did not understand anything. The Father said, this is simple. You just don't understand it yet. This is why you have a teacher, the Holy Spirit, living in you. If you will listen to the teacher and do what he says, then you will understand. And once you understand, it will be simple. Therefore, it is simple. I repeated what he said. This is simple. I just don't understand it yet. That is why I have a teacher. Do not allow your mind to build up a set of doctrines that stops you from seeking God and working out your salvation daily. Every word of conviction from someone who is following Christ is a blessing, even if it's a hard saying. You should never defend truth, as it will take care of itself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:8, he said, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Our approach to the truth is just to be doers of the word and accept it by faith. Truth is the highest form of knowledge. It is not theory. It cannot be challenged. But the Holy Spirit confirms truth so that we can recognize it obey and set ourselves free. In the very beginning, Joseph Hedgecott brought a teaching on the gift of eternal life to three different churches. Before he spoke, he asked the ushers to hand out pieces of paper in three large Bible-believing churches with the question, what is eternal life? He asked the same question in a 400 and a 500 and a 700-member church. And not one person, including the leaders and pastors, put down the right answer. In the last church, Joseph invited an 8-year-old girl to read this verse. It's found in John chapter 17, verse 3. And Jesus said this, John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Afterwards, he asked the girl, what is the definition of eternal life? And she gave the right answer, to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. This proved how all the natural wisdom of 1,600 people was not greater than God revealing this truth to a little child only 8 years old. Joseph Hedgecott says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, pages 78 to 79, what you think you know is now hindering you from knowing what you need to know now. Also, he says, people define eternal life as living forever in heaven, which is not what Jesus said. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You may need to make a fresh start if you have studied using your mind, because you still have your own private interpretation. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must be open for conviction and begin again with whatever God is speaking to you personally, through the word. Let someone else read the Bible to you. If you keep going back to what your denomination believes when you read, you need to hear the truth audibly and let the Holy Spirit bear witness. You should be studying the Bible like you are going to see something new every time. Most people are seeking just Bible knowledge. You can easily deceive yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15 uses the term word of truth. But when you read it, you may only see the word Bible. But the New Testament was not written at that time. You need to hear what the Bible is saying now. An inability to hear the truth is a consequence of you using your mind trying to understand the things of God. You cannot see the truth and understand. You only see what appeals to your flesh instead. The devil has indoctrinated you with lies. If your doctrine is based mainly on single verses or a half verse, it means your doctrine is not sound. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You cannot build sound doctrine on just one verse in the Bible. The Bible is made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. This gives a total of 1,189 chapters. That is, on average, 18 chapters per book in the whole Bible. Psalm 117, the shortest chapter, is also the middle chapter of the Bible, being the 595th chapter. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Reading of Scripture was vital in the early church. Have you read the whole Bible? How can you rightly divide the Word of God if you have not read the whole Bible at least once? The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Many church services could benefit from the reading of Scripture and cut out the modern courses that do not contain sound doctrine. In the developed world, people do not read the Bible because they do not fear God. Those who truly fear God know that the Bible is the most important book, and they love to hear it, read it, and meditate on it. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver?" To study the Word of God correctly, you have to be in the Spirit and not consult your own understanding. He is Lord, so He decides what you study, when, and not you. We have a freedom that comes from obeying the Spirit. The blind leaders of today teach methods, laws, and use their minds to make up guidelines based on a few verses in the Bible. But the kingdom of God is here now, and you must enter by becoming like a little child first, or you will be left behind. My life lacked wisdom, and my fruit said I needed to study, but studying with my mind did not help me. God is on a different level to you and me. Repent if you think you can understand Him with your mind. You are in pride if you believe that you can use your mind to understand the things of God. Even if God told you what to do, you would mess it up. You would start raising money and gather things yourself that you think you need, and miss more important things needed to obey. You would also fail because you are starting from the beginning and you cannot see all the issues. But God starts at the end. If you receive and welcome Jesus, then you also receive and welcome truth. If you reject truth, how can you say you have welcomed Jesus into your heart? A lack of conviction and repentance is the reason you have not come to maturity. If you had received Jesus and the truth He brings regularly through repentance, you would be much further on by now. Christianity is not just another religion, but it's a relationship with God. God is your Heavenly Father and Provider, who is also your example, and the Holy Spirit gives you the connection to God so that you can hear His voice every second. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make Him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to learn more about how the devil uses lies, and if you want more information on ways that seem right, please read the book Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. I've been speaking to you today about rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to recognize that He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. It's a person we're following. You cannot have truth without being intimately acquainted with Him, hearing His voice daily. You cannot help others if you're not walking in this close, intimate relationship with Him. You're deceiving yourself if you think knowledge will help others when you are not really walking in that closeness with God. Your very life shows that you are not rightly dividing the word of truth. You lack freedom. Sin is abounding still. You're confused. You're trapped. Repent. Humble yourself now. If you know this is speaking to you, you know this message is telling you that truth is more than just a collection of facts. Truth is a living relationship, and you need the fruit. It's so simple. All you have to do is humble yourself. All you have to do is become like a little child. This message is for you today. I pray that you can humble yourself, establish Him as Lord first. Learn whatever He tells you to learn. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. come to him. Let me just pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who's been listening to this message. Father, I pray that through it, they will have hope of a new way where the Word of God becomes living, alive, that your Spirit is directing them every minute, every moment to another area. And they won't look at the aspect of conviction, but they'll be excited at the fact that their lives will be totally free. Father, I'm praying for them that they will be lights in this dark, dark world. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. If you have you been blessed by this message and you'd like to be in touch with us, there's some information afterwards. I pray that God blesses you today as you take a new attitude towards His Word. God bless you.